ToList.com. Welcome, I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do around the home for a better life. Today is February 11, 2012. This is episode 45 of the To-Do List Home Podcast. Recycle waste to make compost and grow more food. Or permaculture principle number 6. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is More or Less by the Screaming Trees, recorded on Sweet Oblivion from 1992. Have a listen through the link that can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Todolisthome.com is your stop for home and life projects. We save you money and time. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. Share your to-do list ideas with us. Our home projects and endeavors for making a better life become stories of how we put past experiences and research together to present you with home, work, and life projects with a purpose. It's not always important what we do, but it should always be important why we do things, especially if we're trying to make a better life. On our to-do list today is recycle waste to make compost and grow more food. And as I mentioned earlier, or permaculture principle number 6. My appeal to growing food was enhanced by the idea of valuing all resources and not letting anything go to waste unnecessarily. This is what defines permaculture principle number 6. Permaculture consists of 12 principles defined by Sepp Holzer, Bill Mollison, and Dave Holmgren as an approach to designing human settlements and perennial agricultural systems that mimic the relationships found in natural ecologies. That's a fancy way of saying permaculture is a way for humans to live with nature as nature lives. This does not mean moving into the woods and living in trees. Far from it. It means the easiest way to bring forth productive life is to do what nature does. Nature does not sow 10,000 acres of only one kind of corn and then nurture the soil with Roundup and other chemicals made from petroleum. Neither should humans. At todolisthome.com, we are wise enough to know that we alone can't stop Monsanto and monoculture. Instead, we try to focus on solutions to our local environment for which we are responsible for and can actually influence. Thus, if we want the best that nature has to offer from our property, which is just one-third of an acre, then it is necessary to observe and follow natural productive patterns. If this becomes fruitful and educational to others over time, then with all the other great folks out there on the net sharing similar information, the need to confront the current complex agricultural system becomes diminished, as our power can grow by ignoring it. But that is beyond the capability of this podcast to dwell into at this time. Instead, I'll continue to focus on composting needs on my property. It's February and cold and snowy today in Northern Virginia, but warm spring days are just 2 months away. Parsley is growing under the light system, and chives and green onions will be sowed this weekend. Gardening for 2012 is underway and will get busier as time marches on. This will be the fourth growing season for us at this home, and it is important for me to think about all of the other pieces that make up the 20-plus gardens we will be growing this year. Fresh homemade compost is essential to the success of the gardens and other land on our property, and it is time to prepare for making compost on a large scale. The four most important things for all of the plants that we grow are water, light, warmth, and soil. Water mostly comes from the home when seeds are sown indoors and rain when the plants are outside. However, we also do a fair amount of rainwater capture, which helps to keep the plants happy during the dry, hot days of summer. Moisture throughout the season is also maintained with the effective uses of compost as mulch, which helps to hold water in soil rather than letting it escape through the dry dirt on hot days. And we're also beginning to practice water capture on a grander scale with the use of hugel culture, or burying of wood beneath our gardens. Light is managed by the grow system through the winter and early spring, and the sun takes over once the plants can be transplanted or sown outside. Heat is managed by starting the seeds in an upper-level bathtub, and once sprouted, they are moved into the green room where we have two different types of heat sinks. These heat sinks consist of one 35-gallon black garbage can full of water and one can of similar size full of compost. Soil for starting plants is made from vermiculite, compost, and peat moss. The soil outside is similar in construct, but the new hugel culture beds have literally tons more of nutrients added through the use of building raised beds on top of big piles of logs, twigs, branches, leaves, and of course, compost. Throughout the life of the plants, while they are in the ground, the requirements of nutrients to the soil does not diminish. To keep all plants healthy, whether they're annual, meaning they only grow one season, or perennial, meaning they can grow several seasons, it is important to supply the soil occasionally with more nutrients. I do this with compost. Of the four important components of growing healthy plants, compost is integral to three of them. The importance of composting is not to be underestimated. Natural patterns that I have observed over the years since my childhood have been in forests where life always seems in endless supply. I used to wonder why life in forests seemed endless in supply until I became more inquisitive and learn that nature recycles. Leaves, trees, animals, and all sorts of other life forms fall to the forest floor and over time are ground up and eventually become part of the environment again. What those observations and my interest in gardening led me to was new knowledge as ancient as the earth itself. The earth has always been building up on top of its previous forms, and gardening mimics this building up of new life on old life. This brings me to the subject of compost, or as I prefer to call it, black gold. Before I ever began gardening, I first made compost. It was almost 3 years ago when I began to research about how to plan for our first gardens, and I eventually came across the subject of composting. Virginia Tech and the University of Illinois had produced websites on the subject of composting for the homeowner, and being a new homeowner at the time, it was natural that I was drawn to them. Of the dozens of good websites out there, I found that these two university sites, which I linked to in today's show notes, were the easiest to understand and allow for application of new knowledge quickly. I knew nothing of composting and previously thought that any amenities added to a home garden would have to come from a home store. I quickly learned otherwise and was intrigued by the idea of recycling certain waste from our home instead of sending it to the county landfill. To clarify, I was highly interested in the idea of getting better and bigger food out of my yet unbuilt gardens for free. Well, not exactly, because I knew some labor would be involved, but I relished the thought of making my own black gold and seeing my kids with big fat tomatoes and cucumbers in their hands. Making black gold is a long process that first involves selecting a place to make compost and finding materials to build a proper-sized composting container. As you will see in the links in today's show notes, the concept I followed on was making the compost bin from discarded and free wooden pallets. This design produces aerobic, or making with air, aerobic compost, or compost that has air in between it. Air flow is allowed to go through the compost. And that compost allows it to be odorless. The more that you can mix compost in the air, in the open, you won't have an odor to go along with it. And it's full of the white, creepy crawlies that thrive and do what they do best. Eat waste. The pallets allowed for me to take the recycling effort beyond our own waste to that of others. The 4-pallet compost bin was placed out of sight and out of mind behind our shed in the back. My son and I nailed the pallets together and wired 3 sides shut. The 4th pallet was hinged by wire and had a wire hook for making a large closed box. This 4-foot by 4-foot box was the perfect size for allowing the materials that would become compost to mesh together at the right proportions and make the right amount of heat to create black gold. I remember my neighbor at the time coming to check what all the racket was when we were pounding the pallet system together. And when I told him what it was for and that it was a compost bin, he just laughed and moved on. The idea of recycling materials ourselves on our own property was not a familiar concept in my neighborhood, but that spurred me on to really want to make this work. Once the box was made, I began to layer the inside as indicated by the University of Illinois' guide of first placing a large amount of sticks, branches, twigs at the bottom to allow for airflow. On top of this, I placed about 1 foot of leaves, followed by a layer of dried grass clippings, a gallon of fish emulsion and water mix, a layer of dirt, followed by a repeated pattern of these materials until the pile reached at least 3/4 of the height of the pallet box, or about 3 feet. I then watered the whole mound extensively and left it alone. We then began to add kitchen waste to the mound regularly, which consisted of all veggie and fruit scraps, eggshells, coffee grounds, etc., but never any meat or dairy products. Avoid rats and never compost meat or dairy products. Once a week for the first 2 months, I would open up the hinge side and stab at the pile with a steel garden rake. I would then begin an arduous task of trying to turn the pile with a shovel. Within 2.5 months, the compost was ready to harvest, but in limited small amounts. The first year of gardening consisted of a lot of trial and error, but with the help of Mel Bartholomew's Square Foot Gardening Book and Jack Spirko on the Survival Podcast, I began to learn the best use of this precious material. I started with the placement of it around tomato plants and even began to make some compost tea to help stretch it. Throughout that summer of 2009, I strained every week to turn the pile and, when available, place compost where I thought it would do good. I also used compost, which was not quite composted, in several of the gardens I built that first year. I would typically layer the bottom of a bed with sticks and twigs and place fresh scraps and partially composted material on top, and then layer that deep with Mel's mix of vermiculite, peat moss, dirt from around the property, and a humus and manure mix. It was not until that second season in 2010 that I wised up and purchased a pitchfork, and the work of turning compost diminished greatly. If you are going to make compost as I have described, then the only way to do it well and keep a good attitude is to do it with a pitchfork. Also, by the second year, I began to use the compost more wisely, and I learned some of the techniques from an Australian gentleman who made a great Google video called Backyard Permaculture. I linked to this 72-minute film in today's show notes, and the entire film is a great educational tool for any gardener. The producer breaks down into easy-to-understand steps all of the things he and friends did to turn a small, barren property into a vibrant food forest through the application of the 12 principles of permaculture. In one part, he discusses compost and mentions that it is not necessary to wait for the finished product before using it. He explains that this is so because compost gives off energy as it is being formed. The more it forms, the smaller it gets. You start with a big pile of scrap and waste and eventually end up with a smaller pile of black stuff. But all of the energy used in making the black stuff is diminished by the time that the black is formed. So using it sometimes halfway through allows for some of that extra energy to be given to your gardens. Sometimes the availability of that energy is vital to plants needing a natural boost. Nature does this in forests, and I do it in my gardens. Also during that second season, I began to make greater use of compost as an amenity to various patches of bare ground that had become worn over time here, and the grass just wouldn't grow anymore. Rather than adding unnatural fertilizer and grass seed to the yards that surround the gardens, I used precious homemade compost as a regular addition to the soil in the spring and the fall. However, we never seem to have enough of it, and there are plans for adding to our overall compost production capability. By the third growing season in 2011, making compost had become second nature to us. It is a rather simple process to manage and maintain, and I enjoy the labor involved as a way to warm up for working outside. I've learned to use compost in a variety of ways, which include soil amenity, mulch, making compost tea, making a lawn amenity, and actually using it to make my own potting soil. I take compost and I mix it with vermiculite, create my own potting soil. This year, I have added a sixth use of compost to the overall gardening plan, and that is composting inside the green room where I start my plants and have been growing plants all winter. I often heard of others making compost piles in greenhouses for the added heat in winter, and I decided to try it myself. There's a couple of pictures of how I do this in the show notes. The green room is attached to the home but has no heat connection. To compensate for that this year, I've added, as I mentioned earlier, two large garbage cans, one with water, one filled with compost. And then I've got some different types of PVC piping running from the compost to the water and to the grow light system in the hopes that whatever heat is being produced within the compost pile, it's being captured and helped being expended through the plants that will thrive better from it. So far, I've still been able to harvest approximately one salad a week from my little indoor greenhouse this winter. But I have not yet concluded if the compost can is really making a difference, but time will soon tell because plants will start to fill up the green room. My task now, in the midst of this wintry North American season, is to continue to add good composting materials to the main compost pile outside. That's it for today. Now go and make some compost.